You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to ex-Scientologist A.A. Ron from the channel Growing Up in Scientology, as well as the leader of Scientology, David Miscavige's niece, Jenna Miscavige. And my favorite part of their interview was them just telling their story. This was a banger for me. It's a special episode. I hope you all enjoy. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show.
I see you, Xenu, Xenu, killing people 'cause you're filled with hate.
We have very special guests tonight. Please welcome, for the first time, both on this podcast, ex-Scientologist Aaron Smith Levin. Is it Levin? Aaron Smith Levin, also known as A.A. Ron from Growing Up in Scientology, as well as Jenna Miscavige.
That was amazing.
Oh man, I'm so nervous for this one. Oh, how you guys doing?
Much better after that song. That was
Really? You liked it?
That was unbelievable.
I was just trying to make it up as I went. Xenu, is he? What does he look? What does Xenu look like?
He's looking like a big old alien.
Yeah, you gotta tell that.
Mm-hmm. And he's the Galactic Confederate Emperor.
He's like a dictator. He's like an overlord.
He's an overlord.
But an overlord is like a political, like a dictator-like position. Mm-hmm. I think some people hear the word overlord and all they hear is lord, mm-hmm. and they think Scientologists worship Xenu.
Yeah.
But no, he's just a bad guy. He was a politician. He was a dictator.
Yeah.
And
so he's basically the Jesus Christ of the Scientology belief system.
Well, no, because he's not the lord.
He's bad.
He's a bad guy.
So why is it then? When do you get to learn about him? Like, what's the thing called the bridge? Like, what are the different? Oh, it did. Okay. So were you gonna say, Jenna? We didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying? Oh, okay.
I just said he's bad.
He's a bad figure. But so what's the course where you get to learn about him?
OT3.
Yeah.
The wall of fire.
And OT3, is that the very last course?
No. So the confidential levels of Scientology start at OT1.
Break it down, A.A. Ron.
OT1 through 8.
Okay.
And 3 is the first confidential level where they hit you with the serious stuff. Like 1 and 2 are no big deal. Mm-hmm. They're just to get you ready for 3. Mm-hmm. And then 3 is where they hit you with the stuff that's supposed to kill you if you're not ready to receive that information.
How is it supposed to kill? How do they?
It's supposed to give you pneumonia and strike you dead.
Really?
Yeah.
So how much do you have to pay for that OT3 course?
You know, OT3 itself is actually pretty cheap. It's all the auditing that you have to pay for to get to OT3.
Oh, the auditing is where they get you.
Yeah, well, and OT3 is part of the auditing, but like OT3 itself, mm-hmm. maybe $15,000. But in order,
$15,000?
Oh, that's a discount.
Oh, really?
That's cheap.
What the? Oh my goodness, they're making a killing.
No, but you'd be lucky not to spend $150,000 to get up to that level, though.
How do people afford that?
Scientology is not for the poor. David Miscavige, Jenna's uncle, would say...
I can't believe there's a Miscavige in here, ladies and gentlemen. In my apartment, I have a Miscavige in here. That's why I'm so nervous, because when you said something Miscavige, I'm like...
Don't let me do all the talking. You gotta say
so
something.
So you are... Dude, explain to the viewers and listeners who you are. This is important to know.
Oh, well, my uncle, David Miscavige, is the leader of Scientology.
That's only true. On the Stevie Weeby Show.
That is true.
We get the real here. So let's keep going. I want you all to
talk. But you know what's crazy? I mean, even though her uncle runs Scientology, and even though we were both born and raised in it until we were like in our late 20s, like how old were you when you like, would you say officially was out of Scientology?
I was 21.
And when I was officially out, I was 34. Even then, we didn't know anything about this Xenu stuff because it's confidential and we never got to those levels.
Oh. Secret
We learned about it from South Park.
We learned about it from South Park.
You learned about it from South Park?
And I didn't think it was real. I thought they had it wrong. I thought they were confused.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because Scientologists, honestly, unless you...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Get to that level? You think it would be impossible for them to keep a secret like this, like for real.
Uh-huh.
I'd never even heard the word Xenu.
You didn't?
I'd never.
But you were born into, aren't you from Scientology?
Yeah, but that's confidential. You can't talk about that stuff.
Why not?
Because they say
that you might die.
You'll kill people if you tell them.
Okay, I wanted. Let's start from the beginning. Well, first of all, hold up. I have some notes here. You got arrested last time you were here?
They say they didn't arrest me, but I think the video proves otherwise, yes.
So can you explain what happened?
We were all protesting outside.
Who's we?
Well, me and Jen and maybe 20 or 30 other people.
So like I Laura.
No, you came up later.
Was Laura there? Was William there?
Laura was absolutely there.
Okay.
William, Streets LA was there.
Yeah.
DOA was actually there.
You had DOA on, Scotty? Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of other people. Confident Chris. You got to have Confident Chris on sometime.
You got to give me that.
I'll introduce you.
At the end.
Jessica. Jessica Palmadesso was there. Oh, if you haven't had Jessica on, you got
to
have Jessica.
I've been trying to get her, dude. She's been ghosting me.
Okay. I'll try to help you with that.
Hey, so just give her a message right now.
Jessica. Stevie Weeby.
There you go.
This is where it's at.
I got Aaron here. This is, come on now.
So there was a lot of us out there.
Yeah.
And there's this one guy, his name's Patrick Perry. He lives right in that area, and he's friendly with the Scientologists, and they use him to go and physically intimidate protesters. He's got a pit bull, and he says the pit bull's an emotional support dog, but this dog attacks people. Emotional support dogs do not attack
people. Oh, so you're saying Scientology hired someone on the side to F with you?
No, not just me. I already knew who he was when I saw him because I'd already seen him on other protesters' live streams with his dog.
What's his name?
Patrick Perry.
Shame on you.
Shame on you, Patrick Perry. You know what you did.
You know what you did. That's assault.
And he got arrested too.
Because that dog he's using as a weapon.
Yes. And that dog is not an emotional support dog. Emotional support dogs do not jump at people.
No, and Starl and stuff, yeah.
So we both got arrested, but I got let go without even
being...
Why?
Well, you weren't trespassing. Why?
Well, he said that I was stalking him.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was at La Poubelle,
They hired, I don't know if they hired a man, but a guy came out like 25 minutes in and he was like fake COVID coughing and trying to mess people up. Like,
I didn't know you went to La Poubelle.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Did you film that?
Oh, no. I was on this kid's live stream from Salem. What was him? Daniel from Salem.
Danny in Salem.
Yeah. Do you know about him?
He did an interview with Francois Coster.
Yeah, okay. I was on his stream.
When? How recently?
A week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
That recently?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so they called the fire department on us. But I'm bringing this up because I think they just do, they hire third party people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Continue.
So anyway, Patrick, it was this weird interaction. And as he walked by me, I said, hey, that's the guy who uses his dog to intimidate the protesters. And he turned around. He's like, what'd you say? And I said, yeah, aren't you the guy who uses your dog to intimidate the protesters? And he came up to me and he took his cane. He pretends to walk with the cane. He doesn't need it to walk. And he whacked it out of my hand and my phone went flying. And then when I went to go grab my phone, he punched me in the side of the head.
That's assault.
It's assault. And that's why he got arrested. But when the police finally showed up, they're like, but he was stalking me. I'd never seen the guy before in my life other than on other people's videos.
Oh, my goodness.
And literally, our interaction lasted for 30 seconds. I mean, he walked by me. I said, hey, that's the guy. And literally, I did not follow him. I stood there on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, so they arrested me. I said I wanted him arrested. And they came up to me and they said, well, look, we're going to try to resolve this peacefully. And I said, well, if by peacefully you mean he goes to jail. And I said, I want him arrested. And the cop, Tim Tallman, dirty, dirty LAPD cop, Tim Tallman, works for Scientology. He's in their pocket. He sings. He performs for them at their Christmas parties.
Shame on him.
Tim Tallman. And he said, well, if you basically proceed with insisting that we arrest him, we're going to have to arrest you as well for stalking. And I said, all right, do it.
Really?
I said, that's what you want to do? We got 10,000 people watching live. You want – everyone can see what you're doing.
Oh, because you're streamers.
Yeah, we were live streaming.
Oh, yeah.
We were live streaming the whole thing. And – And I said, everyone can see what you're doing. Everyone has seen the videos. Because, by the way, when the cops showed up, they talked.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
To this dude for 2 hours. They let him search himself.
Which one? The dog guy?
Dog guy.
The dog guy, not the sheriff guy, not the police guy.
When the police showed up, they talked to Patrick Perry for 2 hours because he had a dog with him. You can't arrest someone with a dog, right? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to take the dog to jail?
Right.
So they waited for 2 hours for someone else to come and take the dog. And they let this guy search himself. He without being cuffed. He's pulling knives out of his pockets. Oh, he had like 5 knives on him.
Jeez.
Yeah. And they threw me in cuffs, put me up against the car, and searched. I didn't get to search myself.
Oh, my God.
The LAPD is so dirty when it comes to the Scientology stuff and the protesting stuff. So dirty. So
Do
dirty.
They know about – they obviously know about you, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
And William and
– Oh, no. William's a friend. William's the one who got all the protesting stuff
started.
You
know, William's in my neighborhood.
I think I know that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like real close to me.
I watched your interview.
Yeah, he's real close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The LAPD knows about William.
So they probably know about Stevie Weeby then. Back off, dude.
I'm so impressed that you went to La Poubelle.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
I've only went to La Poubelle once.
Oh, I walked in there, Aaron. Yeah.
Did you meet Francois?
Okay, so when I walked in there, because there's only 2 other guys there, and I go, hey, you guys want to come? They go, oh, we're not allowed to go, and like, so they already got warnings or something, and I go, I'll go in there. So I walked in there into, you know, there's a bar, like a rectangular bar area. Like it's kind of, yeah, it's pretty narrow. There's only like two or three people there. And I told them there's like barely anyone in there. And they're like, oh, you have to go. There's a secret room in the back. I go, I didn't go that far back. Mm. Yeah.
Did they ask you to leave? Did you order?
No.
Did you order anything?
No, I just kind of, I kind of just peeked in there and I was like looking around and it was more of like a dare. But I did it.
So if I go to what's his name? Is it Darren? David in Salem?
His name is Daniel from Salem.
Danny in Salem.
Yeah, Daniel.
If I go and look at his streams, you'll see on there.
Yeah, I'm in. You'll see there. Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna do a video about it. Stevie Weeby goes to La Belle.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Absolutely.
And then even like their workers, I go, shame on you, man. I go, you could get another, you could work at a different restaurant, man.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
So I was like,
that's
like,
amazing.
Yeah, I was kind of like on, yeah. But so a couple things happened when I was there. They set off a car alarm. They called the fire truck to con. They were doing all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it because I'm like, I was like experiencing it firsthand. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like Francoise Coster.
Yeah.
She's a bad lady, isn't she?
My opinion, she is.
Can we? How'd you hear about her? Like, cause I found you out through the Danny Masterson trial, but yeah. During COVID and stuff.
Well, the thing that makes it so disgusting that Francoise showed up every single day to support Danny Masterson in court.
Well, explain who she is again.
She's the owner of a bar and restaurant in Hollywood called La Poubelle, mm-hmm. which means the trash can, the trash, and aptly named. And it's not just that she's a friend of Danny Masterson. I mean, she is a friend of Danny Masterson. In fact, she's dated more than one of Danny's friends, Scientologists. So she's dated Scientologists. She likes to rob that cradle. You know what I'm saying? And the fact is, Danny Masterson, Jane Doe 3, well, Chrissy Bixler, she's public. He drugged her in Francoise's restaurant. So it's not just, oh, I'm showing up to court to support my friend. It's like, bitch, he drugged his victim in your restaurant. And you're showing up to court when Chrissy is on the stand testifying about how Danny drugged her in your restaurant.
Wasn't she harassing other victims at the courthouse?
I didn't see it myself, so I don't want to say yes.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to say something I don't know for sure. But, you know, the fact that she's even showing up and even looking at the victims, at the Jane Does. She knew.
Is this like borderline this harassment?
Women. Yes. It's intimidation. It's harassment.
Okay. Gotcha.
And even, you know, she says, I was just supporting a friend. Even after he was convicted, she continued to show up to court with Danny's mom, Carol. It's like, he's already been convicted. Stop saying you don't know what happened. You do know what happened unless you're calling the women liars, which, by the way, is the problem everyone has with you. You're basically saying, I don't believe these women. You couldn't sit in that courtroom and not believe these women. It's not possible. It's just not possible.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so, you know, I saw the interview that Danny and Salem did with Francoise, and you know, I've got half a mind to try to drop by La Poubelle and see if Francoise will come out and do an interview with me.
I don't think she will, A-Ron. I mean, I would like that to happen, but she's pretty ninja-like, man. I don't think you'll catch her. Like, she's got a whole staff of people protecting her.
She does.
That's the impression I had.
She even had the LAPD showing up every night to escort her to her car at the end of the night.
It's insane.
How do you explain that? How do you explain that?
Oh, that happened that night. I was there, like, where the two other streamers were like, oh, that's her car. Like, she knows, like, the back entrances and escape routes.
The funny thing is, in that restaurant, there is no back entrance. They're sort of grandfathered in. You think with the codes, there has to be a back entrance.
Yeah.
There's not. There's no back entrance to that restaurant.
Yeah.
The LAPD would show up every night and escort her to her car. It's like, wait, what?
Why?
You're not even showing up when the protesters get assaulted every time.
Is she paying them too?
I mean, look, I don't know. Honestly, the LAPD, let's be honest, the LAPD has a fraternization type relationship with Scientology.
What is fraternization? But
being way too inappropriately friendly, crossing professional boundaries,
right.
Becoming friends, too close inappropriately close with someone you're supposed to have an arm's length relationship with.
Right.
And the LAPD is in bed with the Church of Scientology.
Well, they have a history. Like, remember the Rampart Division? The LAPD, like, there's corruption throughout the history of LAPD.
Yes.
Like, there's a history in LA.
Yeah. And the Hollywood Division of the LAPD has been corrupted by Scientology, and their money and their celebrities and their influence. They had a picture. When Leah Remini showed up to the Hollywood Division of the LAPD to file a report, Scientologist Michael Pena's photo was on the wall.
In the
police station.
In the police station?
Because he played in that police movie, Chips, or Chips. Michael Pena played a cop in
the one on Wilcox?
I don't know. Is there more than one office?
The one in Hollywood, though, you said.
Yes.
That's on Wilcox.
The Hollywood Division.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Pena. The photo of a Scientologist was on the wall when Leah Remini went in there to... file a complaint or accompany one of the Jane Doe's.
How's your relationship with her? Are you cool with her?
You know, it's a little cool.
Wasn't there was some kind of drama there too, right? As far as
the drama stemmed from the Aftermath Foundation.
That's right. The Aftermath
and the
Foundation.
SPTV Foundation. And look, Leah Remini, you know, she did her TV show with Mike Rinder and their co-hosts.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just look, interpersonal relationships have made things a little dicey in the former Scientology community.
Were you the founder, though, of it?
Me and Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia was the founder and the chairman of the thing, and then...
But you're a part of it. You're, like, co-founder.
Luis and I ran that whole thing for 6 years.
And then they try to demote you, or, like...
That's... Do you really want me to get into it?
I mean, dude, I just... First of all, when I'm staring at you, I can't believe... I'm having an out-of-body experience. I can't believe A.A. Ron's in my apartment, ladies and gentlemen. This is insane. But whatever you say is just... It's icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to talk about.
I don't want to relitigate the whole thing, but let's just say that the other board members got sick and tired of people complaining to them about things that I do and say. And they're like, look, we love you. We just want to love you from over there. And relationships.
Can you explain what the foundation was? I mean, what was the purpose of the foundation?
Oh, absolutely. It was to help people leave Scientology. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. The Aftermath Foundation was to create a nonprofit entity that people could, because for a long time, what would happen is certain people, when they were leaving Scientology and they were going through very rough times, they'd have to put up like fundraisers, like GoFundMes. Jeez. Where you basically, let's be honest, how do you raise the most money in a GoFundMe? You got to give the biggest sob story possible. You got to make people feel sorry for you. You've got to make it, you got to tell this sad, sad story. Well, we honestly felt that people shouldn't have to spill all of their private guts onto the internet in a plea for money. So we created the foundation to go, look, people can donate to the foundation, and the people who need help can ask for the help in private.
That's great.
And not have to embarrass themselves and not have to be like, please, please, right?
Yeah.
So so it's not like people weren't helping. It's not like the Aftermath Foundation was the first time any people had help leaving Scientology. People have been providing that help privately for generations.
Yeah.
But it was the first time that there was actually a charity, a 501c3 tax-exempt charity that people could donate to, and that vehicle can help people leaving Scientology in private.
That's great.
And that I think we created that foundation 6 or 7 years ago, and it's been a phenomenal success.
That's great. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah. And so when things went south relationship-wise, I started the SPTV Foundation.
I got the sticker in
with a bunch of other board members.
Yeah,
and
I got the sticker on the Mad Max poster.
You have no idea how much it means to me that you have an SPTV Foundation sticker on your wall.
I can't believe you're here.
And Jenna's one of the board members.
That's crazy. Yeah. So when's the last time you talked to your uncle there?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I would say probably in like 2004.
That long?
Yeah. Well, when you leave Scientology, especially if you talk about it publicly.
Like what we're doing now?
Yes, like what we're doing now.
Oh, no, we're in trouble.
Yeah, you become...
So is David going to watch this?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, like, there's a branch of Scientology where they, I guess they watch all these videos of people who say bad things about Scientology, and I'm sure it will be reported to him.
What's the term they use for those people that are, like, excommunicated? What's that term called?
A suppressive person?
SP.
Yeah, an SP.
SPTV.
Do you think it's fair to say that he will get a report? Because it's been a while since you've been, like, actually doing a lot of what someone might call press.
Oh, no.
Right? So they might now, she's got her own... She started a YouTube channel.
Yo, can we promote... let's shout out both channels right now. So Growing Up in Scientology is Aaron's channel, Growing Up in Scientology. And Jenna, what's yours?
Mine is just at Jenna Miscavige.
Okay. And you do interviews and stuff like that?
I actually haven't done a ton on it yet. I've done a few things with Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just getting started.
Okay, that's good. So subscribe to that today to support that.
But I'll get, for example, what I mean is that when Jenna's book came out, which is called Beyond Belief, when her book came out, she did like the press tour, like The View, Anderson Cooper.
No. You did The View?
Piers Morgan. Yeah, she was on The View.
Damn.
And crazy. So, you know, when her book was coming out, and her book wasn't just released in the U.S., it was released all over the world in different languages and everything.
How do people get a hold of it?
It's on Amazon.
What's the name of it? Let's promote it again.
It's called Beyond Belief, My Secret Life in Scientology and My Harrowing Escape.
Get yours today, folks. Get it today. Support it.
So, but like, honestly, Jenna Miscavige doing all of that press was a very bad several months for David Miscavige. And I do believe, well, she was talking about the department in Scientology watches all of the videos. That's OSA, Office of Special Affairs. OSA. By the way, OSA International, that's on that building, Ivar in Hollywood.
Yeah, right. That's I just had a revelation. This is how I'm going to die. After this... I'm going to be driving to my Starbucks, and there's going to be someone following me. Oh. And then I'm going to have to hit you and be like, dude, they're following me now, bro.
Call streets.
Yeah, I will. Hey, that's my boy.
You can always call streets. Yeah,
okay. So, but continue. This is interesting.
What was I talking about?
OSA does watch all of the videos of these former Scientologists on YouTube.
Oh, right. So you were asking about...
The Office of Special Affairs.
Yeah.
Well, I was explaining that, you know, OSA... I do personally think that OSA's like hoping that Jenna's not going to start doing a lot of stuff publicly, because honestly, it's horrible for David Miscavige.
This is horrible.
Yeah, this is anything Jenna does publicly is horrible for David Miscavige.
Oh, because you're family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also think that a lot of it, I think another big part of it is that I grew up in Scientology. So it's hard for them to say, oh, she's all bad. I mean, same with Aaron, because... We're sort of a byproduct of growing up there.
Yeah.
If we're bad, they made us bad.
Right. Yeah. Wow. That's where we got our education. That's where we got everything, kind of.
And they like to say they kicked us out, but they didn't.
Like,
they
did you escape again? Like, let me hear the stories. How'd y'all escape Scientology?
Oh, did I just totally divert us off what we were talking about, though?
Yeah, like, I didn't want to.
That's
wanna,
okay. Yeah, no. I was just answering your question, but okay. You don't care.
Because honestly, we didn't escape the same way you hear some people like escaping in the trunks of cars and stuff like that.
Right.
Like, our story's a little different than that.
Didn't his father escape that way?
Actually, yeah. Her grandpa.
Yeah, your grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a trunk of a car. He was driving the car.
Yeah, I know, but I saw the Joe Rogan episode of that.
What did you think about that one? It was a little rough, wasn't it?
Interesting.
It was a little rough, though, wasn't it?
Well, it was hard because it's like, dude, that's your father, and you know.
Just Joe was giving him a little bit of a hard time, wasn't
just
he?
Their relationship was odd. It's like, dude, this is your son. Like, you gonna treat your dad that way?
You know what I heard though?
What?
Joe was pissed after that interview.
Really?
He did not like how it went, is what I heard. I was told that Joe said, "Can we curse on this?"
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, no, that's
He based it. He said, "I'm not doing any more Scientology stuff."
Why?
And by the way,
he's
I heard
the biggest platform.
So that interview was the first time that Scientology actually sent something to Joe that he had to read before he started the interview.
Why?
And, well, because people think Scientology is going to sue you. Scientology, like back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, they would sue everyone to death. They can't do that anymore. They haven't done it in like over 20 years. But if a Scientology lawyer sends you a letter, and they do this to the media companies all the time, and they demand that you read the letter or else you're not being fair or whatever.
Oh, fair use for fair use.
Well, not fair use, but you know, legally, you're not presenting both sides of the story or yeah. whatever.
Do they like do in that a journalistic too, still? Like, sense. You do content all the time about it.
They don't sue anybody anymore. That's what people. That's one of the things that doing all this content on YouTube that we're trying to show everyone. And there's no reason to be afraid of Scientology anymore. Like, okay, fine. Yes, they will harass you. They'll try to mess with you. Psychological terrorism. But like, if they can't actually do anything to you. Look, I live 5 minutes from the Flag Land Base in Clearwater, Florida. I live 5 minutes from their biggest organization. They can't do shit.
Really?
They can't do shit. They can follow you with private investigators.
Have they done that?
Yes.
Have you seen people parked on your street?
I've busted PIs live on YouTube.
You have?
Oh, it's the greatest. I'll show you afterwards.
You really?
I do videos. For me, it's all content. Oh, I'm like, send content. The PIs, oh, baby.
There you go. Growing up in Scientology, send get yours today. Subscribe today.
Please, send more PIs.
Yeah.
And so, look, they'll call your friends. They'll call your business associates. They'll spread rumors about you. And I'm like, I love when I hear they're doing that shit. I get excited.
So you invite them.
I'm just wired differently.
Really?
I'm like, oh, yes.
Because you know,
only gets to you if you're susceptible to it, but they can't actually do anything to you.
Really?
Yeah.
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 So do they have a group of people that review content that's going against them? Like, yeah. Is there like a board of
directors? That's what we were talking about. It's when you say reviews content, yeah, the Office of Special Affairs.
The Office of Special Affairs.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
They handle legal.
Yeah, they don't just review content, but they like handle PR, I guess. And so they look at people who are saying bad things about Scientology, and then they would work to dead agent them, like you say. So they put up hate sites about people.
So dead agent is a collection of documents that are used to against the defendants.
Right, to discredit
someone.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
right.
trying to, you know, you I want to be prepared for you, man. Yeah, so that's what they do. So it's basically gathering intel.
Yeah. Right. Against they are the intelligence branch. They are the FBI and the CIA of Scientology.
Right.
Gosh, that's horrible.
The FBI, the CIA, and the NSA.
Yeah, and so they put up hate sites.
Yeah.
Like websites, you know, saying bad things about you.
Who's going to listen to that if they know that they're the ones creating it?
Well, people, for example, like every single person who appeared in the 3 seasons of Leah Remini's Scientology mm-hmm. and the Aftermath show got a website dedicated to them about what a horrible person they am. They are. If you go to aaronsmithlevin.com, it is a website. At the
about
bottom
you?
It says...
About you?
Yeah. My name. At the bottom it says, created by the Church of Scientology. And it is... Just page, it's videos of all my wife's family members about what a horrible husband and father I am.
Really?
It's videos, video, like professional sit down, lidded, makeup, wardrobe interviews of people I was in the Sea Org with saying he's the worst Sea Org
She's
member we
in
ever
the,
had.
You were in the Sea Org too.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah, we both were. Yeah, but yeah. The people who are there will say anything.
Say
to,
anything.
In the name of Scientology.
Isn't that defamation though of character?
It is, but in order to win those types of cases, you actually have to prove damages. And the problem is nobody believes a word Scientology says.
Right.
And so it's hard to prove that it's done any real damage. And I would argue it actually hasn't. I would argue those websites has not hurt me in the least.
They haven't tried to come up for your YouTube channel, like to strike you on
They
your
file
channel?
Privacy complaints. They file some, but I fight them and I win every time.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Privacy complaints, content disputes, if you use any of their stuff. But like YouTube is the battleground that they cannot win on.
They can't win there.
They cannot win.
They don't have an in there.
That's one of the things, like, that's one of the things it's one of the reasons I try to convince so many former Scientologists to get onto YouTube. I'm like, this is the, what is it, the Star Trek? What the final frontier. This is the final frontier. Scientology has no, they have no traction here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where is your uncle? Where is he hiding? Right? Is he on a yacht somewhere? Like, where is he?
I feel like you know better than me.
Where is he hiding?
Yeah, where is
he
hiding?
I have no idea.
And where's Shelly? Like, what's going on with Shelly? And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, I think that she was in the public eye with him for many years. And I am assuming that she's no longer his assistant. And so, like, she got demoted or something like that. And so she was no longer seen in public for many years, but she works somewhere else.
Is she alive? Like, is she in some bunker somewhere? What's going on?
I think that they, yeah, she's alive, but you know where she is.
Go ahead.
Everyone knows. Here's where this gets a little funny.
Yeah, yeah, because there's like conspiracies on it.
The same people who tell you she's missing will also tell you where they think she is. So is she really missing?
They said she's by some redwood forest.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, yeah, by these trees, like these.
We should go to Twin Peaks.
You want to do a vlog?
We'll do it together. We'll go.
You want to do it?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I can. You want me to drive us up there?
Yeah.
Is it in California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's less than 2 hours away.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. That'd be cool.
We'll find her.
That'd be better than the ghost hunters or something for me. Wow.
So what's interesting to know about the Sea Organization, and this applies to the Shelley question.
Okay.
In the Sea Organization, being someone's spouse means nothing. So it's not like if you're the president and, you know, you got the first lady. It's not like if you go to a function, your wife goes with you. In the Sea Org, being someone's spouse doesn't mean anything.
Only your job matters.
Only your job matters.
What?
So if you're an executive in Scientology and you're going somewhere, your wife does not go with you. The only reason Shelley Miscavige was seen everywhere David Miscavige was seen isn't because she was his wife. It's because she was his assistant.
Aren't they married, though?
I know, I know. But the reason she was seen with him is not because they're married. It's because her job in the Sea Org was to be his assistant.
That's weird.
So once he got pissed off at her, and that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Once he decided, I don't trust her anymore, he basically removed her from her post and reassigned her to another base. Jeez. So the thing is, the Sea Org executives who work at the International Management Base, and there's other bases that are even more confidential than the International Management Base, mm-hmm. they're never seen in public. You would never know these people. No one in Scientology knows these people. So what happened is Shelley became someone. Leah Remini came to know Shelley because she was a celebrity and she got to hobnob with David Miscavige and she got to hobnob with Shelley. But they weren't actually friends, meaning friends. The way,
right, right.
And the evidence of that is you'll see they were writing each other letters. Who the fuck is writing each other letters in the year 2000?
That's crazy.
Okay, it's not.
Like written letters.
You pick up the phone.
Yeah, exactly. Or text.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my point is, Shelley was always someone who was a high-level Sea Org executive, but she wasn't a public figure per se. She never, the Scientologists in the world, it's not like she ever got up on stage and spoke to the Scientologists. She was David Miscavige's assistant.
Okay.
And once she was no longer on that post, she simply became someone who you would never see. So when someone says she's missing, what they mean is, she hasn't been seen in public. But by who? Who would see her? Who would know who she is if you did see
her?
She's
like a Sasquatch. Like, you don't... like you've heard about it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
And here's the thing. Like, I like talking about Shelley being missing because it's embarrassing to David Miscavige that Scientology couldn't give him the tools that he needed. The leader of Scientology couldn't give him the tools that he needed to, like, make his marriage work. Because Scientologists believe that Scientology has the tools and answers to every problem that could ever come up in life, period. And you're like, except for David Miscavige's wife. So when I talk about Shelley, it's really to troll him.
Yeah.
She's not actually missing, though.
She's not.
She's not.
They know exactly where she is.
The same people who will say she's missing will also tell you where she's working.
How do they keep the secrecy? Like, how do they keep this up?
Now, that's an interesting question. The occult's ability to keep secrets.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Unless you've been there, it's actually hard to even explain it or to understand it. Because the fact that she and I never even heard the word Xenu.
Yeah, how did they keep it from y'all? You guys were a part of the organization.
You have to condition the people who are learning about it to believe that if they ever say those words outside of a locked room, they will be barred from Scientology forever. And you're telling that to someone who believes that we are basically living in the Matrix and only Scientology can unplug you from the Matrix. So if you tell someone, if you tell someone that and be like, if you ever say the word Xenu or Body Thetan outside of a locked room in an advanced organization.
Like right now?
Right
we're,
now what?
We're talking about it.
Well, we're talking.
Yeah, okay.
But like, but you're saying, how do they keep those secrets?
Oh, that's how they keep it contained.
Yes.
They and contain
those,
it.
Yeah, and those people okay. would also be thinking that they would be hurting someone by telling them about that.
Yeah.
You know, they would get sick or die or something like that.
Yeah.
And also they would be declared a suppressive person and excommunicated from everyone who they know.
See, that's what I don't get as far as, like, breaking up families and stuff like that. Like, because yeah. Laura was talking about, you know, when she saw her dad. And yeah. It's such a sad story, you
it's
know?
It's so sad.
Every family in Scientology ends up getting destroyed by Scientology.
It's so wrong.
David Miscavige's family is destroyed by Scientology. L. Ron Hubbard's family is destroyed. Tom Cruise's family is destroyed by Scientology.
Do you think Tom will watch this?
No. I don't think Tom actually goes on the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a weird dude, huh?
He's a weird dude.
Yeah. I don't think he goes on the internet
no.
either. If he
have
did.
You, have you had experiences with Tom Cruise?
No, I haven't.
You've never
him.
Met him?
No.
Him and David are real tight, huh?
Right, yeah.
So does he have special privileges?
I mean, all celebrities do, but yeah, him
but he,
more than anyone.
Him especially, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because he's like the biggest star?
Well, because he's seen in Scientology as somebody who can spread the word about Scientology. So he's so important to them. Yeah. So it's so important that they keep him on side and happy and saying good things about it because of the reach that he has.
How much does he have to pay?
I have no idea.
Tom Cruise's family is his family members are one of the only people I know in Scientology who've been audited for free.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that
wow.
And which is strictly against the rules in Scientology.
It's Tom Cruise, man.
Yeah. And on some level you go, is it really free if the guy's given like tens of millions of dollars? I mean, when you do the profit and loss statement, it's not really free. But technically speaking, I have, you know, firsthand knowledge of his family members being given.
Have you
auditing.
Met Tom?
I've never met Tom. No. I've
if,
never
if you were
met
to
Tom.
Meet him, like, what? How would you, like, interact with him? Would you?
I probably wouldn't.
Would you be scared to talk to him?
I wouldn't. No, scared, no.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I probably wouldn't want to provoke a confrontation. I would feel with silly. Him. I would feel like a little troll.
Didn't you just release a video on, like, his daughter, Suri?
Suri, yeah.
Suri, and then she changed her name?
She's using a stage name, Suri Noel. Noel is her mom's middle name.
So she's, like, totally separating herself from
Yeah, her. I don't think Tom and Suri will ever reconnect.
Really?
Yeah. If Tom wanted to stay connected or stay a part of Suri's life, the time for him to have been able to get away with that, from a Scientology perspective, is when she was underage.
Oh, man.
That's when he could say, no, I have to stay in touch with her to prevent her mom from poisoning her against Scientology. But he spent the last, I don't know, 10, 11 years. I think he was in her life until she was about six,
yeah.
seven or something like that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so awful. That's
yeah.
awful. That's his daughter, man.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy.
So why do they salute him? I've seen videos where they salute him.
Well, they salute David. They salute L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay.
What you saw was Tom Cruise saluting.
Yeah, I saw a video on YouTube where like
he probably saluted both Dave and L.
Yeah.
Rich.
Yeah, when he got the award, they saluted each other.
They saluted each other.
Yeah, they went. Yeah. They looked at each other and went, like. Salute.
That's like a Scientologist version of a circle jerk, because you
yeah.
just salute each other,
yeah.
just over and over again until you.
Well, it's. I guess it's like. No, it's like a Sea Org thing. So the Sea Org, which is like the, like.
Jeez, man.
You can cut that out.
No, we're not cutting anything out. This is crazy.
No, those two saluting each other is one of the funniest things that has ever leaked from
a
Scientology event. Especially because it was like aggressive. It was like.
Yeah.
And then seeing him on Oprah too.
And then he said. To LRH.
Yeah.
And yeah.
When he jumped on the couch on Oprah Winfrey too.
That was a little weird.
That was weird. Yeah. So can you describe your experience being a part of the Sea Org? Like, what does that entail? Are you like out at sea, like literally out at sea?
If we were at sea, it would have been a lot more fun.
So you weren't at sea?
Never.
The Sea Org started in like on a boat in the ocean, but it's not on. Well, there is one boat.
Originally there were ships. Now there's one ship, and most Sea Org members never go to it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So it's just a name they call
yeah.
it Sea Org.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they pattern themselves after the Navy. They've got the Navy ranks, and they've got all sorts of Navy terminology because L. Ron Hubbard was in the Navy, and I guess he just really loved the Navy.
Yeah. So what do we know about him? So he was just a science fiction writer, and he was like
he was a lot of things. Yeah. The thing is, the guy had a pretty incredible life. You know, the best biography, and of course it's like it's an expose unauthorized biography, is called Barefaced Messiah by Russell Miller. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants like the actual true story of L. Ron Hubbard's life,
yeah,
Barefaced Messiah by Russell Miller.
Okay,
and he led an amazing life, but he was also a complete con man and a liar and a charlatan and one of the most prolific science fiction writers and authors of all time. Mm-hmm. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, here's a funny one. You're going to
like
this.
Yeah.
So I've heard Joe Rogan, for example, he goes, do Scientologists not realize that this guy was better at writing fiction? This guy wrote more fiction than anyone. Well, fantasy Western fiction, science fiction. Yeah. This guy wrote more fiction, more false stories than anyone in the history of the world. And then he wrote Scientology. And Scientologists don't see a connection there?
Yeah.
Here's what Scientologists think about that. They go, the reason L. Ron Hubbard was able to write these fiction stories so prolifically, he was writing from his recall of all of his past lives.
Bullshit.
That's why you'll hear people say that L. Ron Hubbard never wrote a second draft. Now, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
But Scientologists, I promise you, this is what they believe because this is what we all believed. Scientologists believe that you've lived for like 76 trillion years. You've lived billions of lifetimes on other planets, on other solar systems, in other galaxies, in other universes. And that L. Ron Hubbard had full total recall of all of his 76 trillion years or 67 trillion years, whatever it is. And that he all the shit he wrote, that was real.
What?
Yes.
No.
That is what they believe.
Well, if he was on that science fiction alien tip, how come does he talk about other alien races like the Palladians or the Reptilians? He doesn't know nothing about that?
He talks about the Fifth Invader Forces. Oh, in Scientology, he talks about a lot of that stuff.
Well, Reptilians and Andromedans. There's other races of alien species out there. And I'm going to call him on his bullshit on that. Like, if he doesn't, you know, because if he's really about that life, the alien life, then he would know about that.
Well, he is a charlatan. He is an amazing con man. He was unbelievably charismatic.
Yeah.
He's an amazing salesman. I mean, his whole life, he was conning people and conning people and conning people. And it's just amazing. I mean, he's one of many examples of how much you can actually achieve in life while just lying your ass off. And
creating a religion, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a new podcast that's called Sins of Scientology, and the first episode is a really good like summation of his life.
That's crazy. And then that is how new is that? Like how
brand new. Sins of Scientology came out.
Yeah, it's one of our friends Sandy McKenna started this podcast, and they're doing it. It's a scripted thing. It's like it's not just sitting down, and it's like a scripted, and it's like a show. It's like a series.
How do we get people out of Scientology? Because they're not allowed to look at like the internet. How are they supposed to get out of it then? Like right now, I know y'all are doing a good thing, but how are we going to get the people still inside the organization out?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, all we can do is put information out there and hope that it somehow gets to them through family members, or they have a day off, they see something online. I mean, back when I was in, there wasn't really the internet, or it was just like there weren't as many things on the internet about mm-hmm. Scientology. So I just feel like there's so many more stories out there. There's so many more people who they would know that have left, mm-hmm. that there's so many more opportunities to get out of Scientology.
Right. And y'all are doing a good thing. I mean, it's effective, right? Like what you're doing.
It is. It's very effective.
Like, can we hear some stories of people, like, through your work, like, how they got out?
What's amazing is that, so there's a certain, you know, there's different levels of involvement in Scientology. And your average Scientologist is allowed to look at the internet, and they're on the internet.
You're like the ones in front of, like, the centers and stuff that are handing out pamphlets?
No, those guys aren't allowed.
So there's a hierarchy then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the deeper you are, the closer you are to the core, well, the core, either the centermost or the uppermost, whichever.
Yeah.
To me, those are you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The closer you are to the core, the less you're allowed to look at the internet.
Yeah, so if you're in the C organization, it's very hard to get access to the internet. But if you're just a Scientologist who pays for services, you can still, like, live in your own house, have a car.
Yeah, have a car and just live your life like that.
Yeah,
like if you're one of the staff members who just works at the Pasadena organization, you're on the internet.
Okay.
But if you're one of the guys in the building on Ivar in Hollywood, you ain't looking at the internet.
What, don't they have smartphones? Can't they just go on?
No.
They take away your smartphone?
No, yeah, they don't have them to begin with.
They took away my phone.
What?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Unless security... by the way, they don't use iPhones, because if they have phones, it's Android, because they can install software on the Android phone to basically be a net nanny for the. They can monitor all your keystrokes and all. They can put filters on them. So the SEER members that have phones, they're not allowed to use iPhones.
Oh Lord.
Android only, because they can put the monitoring software on them.
Jeez.
Yes, the monitoring software and the filter.
It's like North Korea up in that motherfucker.
Very much so. No, very, very much so.
It's like North Korea.
Yes.
So, because they don't know what's going on.
That's right. And they believe that their leader, I mean, they basically, Scientologists worship David Miscavige in every sense of the word, except for the fact that they don't literally believe he's a supreme, Scientologists don't believe in a supreme being. So they don't believe he's a god or a prophet. But in every other way of the meaning of the word worship, they worship David Miscavige, just like the North Koreans worship Kim Jong-un.
He's like Kim Jong-un.
Or infallible. Yes.
And
really, he's the supreme leader.
Except Miscavige is even shorter than Kim Jong-un. He's 4 foot 13 inches.
So they worship like he's like this godlike entity.
Well, other than the fact they don't truly believe in a god, they truly believe that everything he says is true. Nothing he could do could ever be wrong. I mean, truthfully.
Really?
Yes. You're not allowed to criticize him.
Where is he? Is he in Malibu? Where is he right now?
Do you know where he actually works?
Yeah.
Mostly?
Yeah.
Scientology Media Productions, not far from L. Ron Hubbard Way. I don't know the exact address. It's the old KCET Studios.
Oh.
Scientology bought it and renovated it. It's an in-house audio video production studio.
Is it around here?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Are you guys going to stop by?
I mean, not tonight. And do you know where, and again, this is all to the best of my knowledge, do you know Author Services International in Hollywood and La Brea? There's that beautiful building, Author Services. You might not even know it's a Scientology building.
I know where that is.
It's next to the old Galaxy movie theater.
Gotcha. Yeah, I know where
it's
that is.
It's called Author Services.
That's right by that Target. There's a Target there, right?
Is there? It's literally a Hollywood and La Brea.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, if you go on the map, Author Services, just... attached to the north side of the building.
Oh, that's across from Ruffalo's Pizza right there.
I'm going to take your word for it. Attached to the north side of the building is an apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a secret little tunnel, a secret entrance from the Author Services. That's where Miscavige stays most of the time, from what I'm told. The truth is, Miscavige could literally stay anywhere.
What?
But it's a very secure facility. They have the whole apartment complex. They own it. No one's in there. It's Miscavige's place.
That's kind of by Runyon Canyon there a little bit. Yeah.
Is it by Runyon Canyon? It's on Hollywood and La Brea.
Yeah, I know, but Runyon Canyon's right above
it. Okay. So if he's living mostly right there on Hollywood and La Brea.
What the hell?
But you see, all these facilities that he goes to, they're privately owned facilities. They're gated. You're never going to see the guy in public. He doesn't ever have to show his face.
Yeah.
So if he's living behind Author Services and he's working at Scientology Media Productions,
yeah,
which, by the way, one of the reasons that he works there is because it's not where he's supposed to work.
But what does he do there all day? Does he edit videos? What is he doing?
Does he do? I don't know. Do you know he plays video? He loves – you can play Call of Duty. He might be on to play some Call of Duty with him.
Give me some Miscavige. If you want to get some – hey man,
come get pwned.
I'll give you my Activision account.
No, he likes to play video games.
He plays video games.
Yeah.
He plays video games.
That's the word on the street.
What kind of video games is he playing?
Oh, I forgot.
I have no idea.
I mean, Tom DeVault has told the story, and Mike Rinder's told the story.
Okay. Yeah.
God, I can picture him playing like Fallout or something, and just wow. So he's an odd guy, huh? Is he like what's he like? How much money is he like a billionaire? Like, Isn't he like super rich?
I don't think he's in it for the money. I mean, he gets paid more than obviously a regular Sea Org member, but yeah. I think he's in it for the power.
So he has supreme power over people. What does he make people do, like, that are under him? Like, does he, like, what does he do on a day-to-day basis? I just always wondered that. Like,
I mean, I didn't work with him on a day-to-day basis, so I had, like, my own kind of interactions with him. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, so I just have heard other people's stories, the same as what you've heard. But.
What have you heard, Aaron, as far as, like, what he's
Well,
like?
The thing is, the answer is, what is he, whatever the hell he wants to do. Because the truth is, his position in Scientology, he runs an organization called RTC, the Religious Technology Center. Uh-huh. RTC owns the trademarks of Scientology. He is not supposed to be involved in the day-to-day management of Scientology affairs. So he doesn't have to be, but he inserts himself, he micromanages almost every part of the day-to-day Scientology affairs. So if he wakes up one morning and he wants to do stuff, there's a lot of stuff he can do. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't want to do anything, he also doesn't have to do anything at all. Oh. That's the thing. So,
he very much thinks everybody else is incompetent and he's the only one who can do anything right.
Really?
So, you know, he winds up punishing people that work for him.
What do you mean by punishing? What does he make him do? Like mop like the floor or clean toilets?
Yeah, like literally go like the bathroom floor is like honestly.
Or like sleep so under their desk.
He makes people do stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. No, it's like when we talk about North Korea, I mean, the only thing Scientology isn't doing is putting them in front of the firing squad.
Yeah, or they send them to the rehabilitation project force, which is basically where you have to wear all black. You have to run everywhere you go. You have to do heavy labor.
So it's like a labor camp?
Don't speak unless you're spoken to. You call everyone sir. You run everywhere. You don't walk.
And you get heavily interrogated for 5 hours a day.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're separated from your spouse for years?
Yeah.
Some people are on this program for 5-10 years.
Yeah.
So he basically tortures them.
Quite literally.
Actually,
quite
Laura's literally. Dad was on that program.
Laura's dad is
was on that program.
So he's like brainwashed. Like, there's a point where, because y'all had to unlearn all this stuff that you learned in Scientology.
Whatever.
I'm sure that was a whole process in itself.
Yeah.
But the people in it, they're like completely effed up in their heads.
Yeah. You've seen the videos from North Korea where Kim Jong-un simply gets out of a car.
And they go, cry.
They're jumping, they're crying.
They're crying. Yeah. Did I like that with him?
Well, minus the actual tears. I've never seen people like just honestly crying. But honestly, he walks out on stage, 10-minute standing ovation.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the first one to sit down.
So there's Scientology centers where it's like built to punish people?
There were programs that on every continent where Scientology had a Sea Org management unit. Now, this is one of those things that with all the exposure that's happened over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years, this is one of the things that Scientology has quietly disposed of, even though L. Ron Hubbard is the one who ordered these programs come into existence.
Oh my goodness.
So L. Ron Hubbard created these programs and they got worse and worse and worse and worse. And under David Miscavige, they got even worse and worse and worse and worse. And one of the things that happened is when you're on these programs, and this is one of these sick and twisted things, right? Because when you hear that Scientology got rid of this, you might go, oh my God, that's great. They're making a reform. No, here's what I believe happened. As a part of this program, remember Jenna said that you do 5 hours hard labor or a day, right? Mm-hmm. But the rest of the day, you get
interrogation. Yeah, five. The rest of the day, you do.
But what does that entail? Labor. Like you have to pick up heavy objects? Like what is that?
The labor or the interrogation?
The labor.
Oh, whatever labor needs to be done. I mean, it could be digging dishes, construction, demolition, renovation.
It's horrible.
Well, I mean, for some people, that's a career.
But, that's a career?
Well, like, I mean,
that's their life.
No, but I mean, for some people, like the construction industry is a career.
Oh, right. So they build like Scientology buildings.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
But they're allowed to speak to other people and not be interrogated for 5 hours a day.
Oh, that's right. So my point there was David Miscavige's, I believe, his motivation for getting rid of this program isn't that he thought it was mean. It's that he thought, why are we letting these people get interrogated for 5 hours a day when we could have them working for 10 hours a day? I believe he was like, why are we letting these people do the auditing when the other Sea Org members don't get to do the auditing? We'd actually get more out of these people if we made them work all day instead of only 5 hours a day.
So what's a day in the life for the typical Scientology member? Like, they wake up, do they feed them? They obviously have to feed them at a...
You mean a Scientologist who's in the Sea Org?
Yeah, or like any, yeah, just a member of the organization.
Well, how would you answer that, since you spent more years in the Sea Org than I did?
Like, what time do you get up in the morning and...
Well, so we would be talking about the Sea Org, which is where I grew up.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, so, we would have breakfast at 9 and then have a big group meeting everyone's in a unit and you do a report, you're saluting, like Division 1 report. So it's very, like, militarized.
Oh, my goodness.
And then you usually have, like, you have a job and there's a hierarchy. You have a senior, your senior has a senior, and you have your job, and then you have lunch, and then I guess you do your job all day, but you also have like 2 hours of Scientology studies per day.
Oh, jeez.
And then, I mean, at the end, we were going home at midnight.
So it's a full day of just work.
Yeah.
And it's
every day.
7 days a week. I mean, it's 365 days a year. Like, your average Sea Org member, I would estimate, gets 3 or 4 days off a year. And we can think of many years where we didn't get days off.
What about Christmas? You didn't get any.
No, Christmas means nothing. What? Oh, my God, no.
We had Christmas.
Your birthday. Oh, my God. What?
Ain't nobody care about your birthday.
Nobody cares about your birthday. Yeah,
even as a kid, I was at a boarding school with Laura. And, like, I wouldn't see my parents on my birthday.
Yeah, she grew up with Laura.
Wow, you grew up with Laura.
Yeah. So we would only see our parents, like, one morning a week.
You don't get paid or nothing? Or?
Well, it was from when I was 6 until I was 12. So, yeah, we were just, like, we worked, like, 35 hours a week doing heavy labor, like, digging ditches, planting trees, building rock walls, and then we would do Scientology studies and then a little bit of schooling. But, you know, when you grow up there, you don't actually get an education. So you're not, like, you don't know what your rights are. You don't know any different.
Oh, my God.
And you're told there's no such thing as a kid. You're told you're 65 trillion years old. You've lived billions of lifetimes. Just because your body is 8 years old doesn't mean you're 8 years old. Sack up. You know,
and then there's a miracle y'all even got out of this. I mean, because, you know, it's a miracle.
Well, her story is absolutely batshit crazy how, you know, she and her husband ended up leaving the Sea Org. Me and my wife leaving the Sea Org, it was just as simple as we knew that if we got pregnant, it was pretty much your golden ticket out of there because you're not allowed to have kids in the Sea Org. If you get pregnant in the Sea Org, you either have to get an abortion or you have to leave. Now, Scientology, I guarantee you, is the only quote-unquote religious organization in the United States that shuttles its clergy members weekly to the abortion clinic.
What?
Yeah, for real.
Jeez.
I feel like if the IRS truly understood that, we'd be having a much different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So give me the Cliff Notes version of how you escaped. Like how?
Well, so I guess prior to when I left, me and my ex-husband were on a mission in Australia for a year, and it was sort of the first time where I was around anybody who hadn't been in Scientology and in the regular world, and I don't know, it just like gave me a taste of the outside world that I hadn't seen before, because growing up we were taught that people who weren't Scientologists were like dumb, and like I was afraid of them because we were for some reason not supposed to tell them like what we were doing. Well, probably because we were doing heavy labor, but I didn't know which part of it was a secret. And so I just always thought of people who weren't in Scientology as kind of scary.
Yeah.
But after that experience for a year, we went back to the base in Los Angeles, and it was just the contrast between having a little bit of freedom and, you know, being made to stay up like all night, many nights in a row. If you like fell asleep during like listening to a tape play of L. Ron Hubbard speaking, you would have to clean the dumpster with a toothbrush.
They made you listen to tapes of that man talking?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It's impossible to stay awake.
It's impossible. It was my job to, like...
That's torture in itself.
Especially at the end of the night or whatever.
It was always at the end of the night. Yeah. I was skilled at staying awake.
They play it on an intercom or something?
Speakers.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, my God.
Everyone's, like, nodding off.
It was my job. I, like, kept all my friends awake, and I was like, Lord. Why can't you guys stay awake? Like, do you want to scrub the dumpsters with a toothbrush?
What a nightmare.
Yeah. And so just, you know, and just seeing everything that was going on, how poorly everyone was being treated, it was just so bad that if, as somebody who wanted to help people and cared about what Scientology was claiming to do, which was to make the world a better place, it was impossible not to take issue with how shitty all of your friends and everyone you cared about were being treated. And then seeing friends that I had known for a long time being declared suppressive persons when I knew that they weren't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just became too much. And I just gradually became more and more disaffected. And they were not allowing anyone to have time off. They were taking away, like, if you happen to have a cell phone, they were making everyone get rid of it. And, yeah, so it just became... really bad. And it was just after so many years of things happening.
So you grew out of it.
Yeah. Like I couldn't not see these things anymore. And so I wanted to leave. And then my ex-husband said he would leave with me. And then in the process of leaving, they kind of got to him and were secretly making him tell things about me.
Oh, to gather the intel, the dead agent intel.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And trying to separate us. And it was just this whole drama with, like, going to the airport, and last minute he confessed to me that they had been talking to him.
Who's he, your ex-husband?
My ex-husband, yeah. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to stay because I didn't want anything bad to happen to him. Anyways, and then we wound up leaving together.
So do you have to file paperwork? Do you give them, like, your final, like...
Well, so they want you to, you have to get an interrogation before you leave. And then they actually have you sign a document that says if you ever speak badly about Scientology, you'll pay millions of dollars.
Oh, Lord.
Have you signed this document on video with a Scientology's lawyer there?
Yeah.
Really?
Just to put the fear of God into you. This thing is not legally enforced.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
First of all,
but you don't know that at the time.
You don't know that at
the time.
You
know nothing about the law.
They want you to just believe that you are.
You don't have an education.
You can't have a lawyer present when you sign.
No.
And you would never think to.
But that's what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, but you would never think to. You grew up in a sheltered world. You don't know any lawyers.
So you just signed anyway.
You would sign anything.
Yeah, I didn't sign it though.
That's what I said. Erica, your story's crazy.
You didn't sign it?
No, I shredded it and I threw it at the woman's face because I was. I was like, the fuck out of there.
Yeah. No, I so you shredded else. It and you just dipped. You're like, I'm out.
Yeah, well, except I did not want to leave without my husband at the time. So otherwise I would have been out of there. But I stayed longer trying to get him to come with me, which finally happened. But it,
is he still
hard.
In? Your ex?
No, he's out. Yeah. Oh,
God. I signed that shit. I was like, David Miscavige, he's the best. I'm a piece of shit. I did everything. I'm horrible. I just want to get out of here.
So that's your story? That's your cliff? Like how did you
As far as signing. No, when you sign the document. They put a document in front of you that basically says,
you are departing from the organization because you were unable to adhere to their high ethical standards. You're a total piece of shit. I'm like, yep, I'm a piece of shit. Give me my 500 bucks. I'm signing this thing. I'm out of here.
He still believed when he left.
Yeah. I mean, we were leaving the Sea Org. We weren't leaving Scientology.
What's the difference?
Well, the Sea Org is like, those are the billion-year contract guys. Those are the guys who signed the billion-year contracts.
That's when you work 7 days.
Those are the guys
week.
With the uniforms.
Yeah.
You can leave the Sea Org and still be a Scientologist. Of course, they think of you like a piece of shit because you couldn't hack it in the Sea Org. And so I left the Sea Org in 2006. I didn't officially, in my mind, start leaving Scientology until 2009. And I wasn't officially declared a suppressive person until 2014.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was a process.
It's a and that's why I didn't answer the question earlier when you said, how did you escape? Because it doesn't, it didn't, for it us, it didn't really go like that.
It's slowly.
Yeah.
Well, mine was more like all those things happened at once. So I left the Sea Org and Scientology kind of at the same time.
What was their feeling when you're liberated, when you're completely out? Like, what'd y'all do? Like, did you guys go to a shopping center?
I was afraid still. Like, I didn't know how to drive. I had never had a job, and I didn't even know, like, I didn't know directions. I barely knew where I was half the time. So it was really scary, but I didn't know how to cook.
I didn't know my left from my right.
So you don't know that.
So you didn't know anything. You just kind of had to learn as you went.
Yeah, like, so it was really scary. Like,
I'm sure.
It was like, yeah, I mean, I had never gone grocery shopping before. So I always just, like, felt like a weird fraud in everything that I did for a long time, and I was like, am I acting normal?
Oh my
God. Like, do I look normal?
Where'd you guys live? How did you live?
Our stories are totally different in this regard. Okay. Yeah. So like,
I lived in San Diego because my ex-husband's parents lived there, but they were still in Scientology. So Scientology basically harassed the shit out of them to harass the shit out of us to try to get us to
back.
To get us back or to get them to disconnect from us. And so it was hell
That's
for
how
years.
They get you.
Right. Yeah. Mm. So it was hell for years. And, you know, we got followed by PIs and it was just like a shit show. It was like also like caused so much drama between in my ex-husband's family.
Yeah. That's so wrong. Yeah. Just to split up the families like that is just.
Yeah.
Well, the hour has passed. I mean, you got to come back, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to come back.
We got to go to Twin Peaks. We got to go find Shelly, baby.
You want to do it?
Yes.
How far away of a drive is it?
How far is Twin Peaks?
I'll drive us up there. You want me to drive?
90 minutes. I mean, not tonight. Not tomorrow.
I know, but I mean, just
sometime.
Yeah, sometime.
Yeah.
I want to come too.
Yeah, we'll rent a nice car. We'll go up.
No, I'll drive us.
Okay, well, we'll have lots of cameras on the car.
Did anyone follow you guys here when you came tonight?
No. We used evasive maneuvers. No, I'm just kidding. The funny thing about PIs following us is, like, we are live streaming our location half the time. They don't have to follow us. They just have to watch my channel.
Right.
We were on L. Ron Hubbard Way earlier today live streaming.
Okay, good. Okay.
We led them to your door.
Okay.
Hey, but he hasn't interviewed Serge yet. Serge,
you gotta,
our friend Serge
okay,
Del Mar.
So before you leave, you got to like list a couple people that
totally.
Would be a good fit here.
Yes,
and because they're welcome on here.
You will know that you have done enough when your friends start getting calls from Scientology PIs looking, hey, we're looking to hire Stevie Weeby. We want to get a character reference.
Oh my God.
Yes. Some your friends will get some bullshit phone calls from someone pretending to be hiring you.
Oh, wow.
And you'll be like, hey, I just wanted to let you know I got a call from that guy who's looking to hire you. You'd be like, I finally did it. The Scientology PIs have been activated.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll get you a list.
Okay. All right. So let's promote your social media, your YouTube channels again.
Growing Up in Scientology.
Okay.
Where you're going to find me.
Which is a great channel. Like, definitely tune into that. And then, Jenna, your channel, too?
Mine's Jenna Miscavige. That's the name of my YouTube channel.
Okay. Can you spell that out for him? Just.
JennaMiscavige.
Mm-hmm. And then let's promote your Instagram, too.
No, my Instagram's just my purse. I don't do anything with it.
Really?
Yeah. But, you know, the real thing that did get me out of Scientology was the last summer that I was there. I was just brutally molested every day by this guy with Down syndrome.
Okay, that's for part two. That's for part two. Tune in for that story. That's crazy. Oh, my God. So
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Steve Beebe Show. You can best support the platform by going to patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. I'm on Twitch again, so go to twitch.tv/Stevie Weeby. I'm playing Warzone and playing Little Nightmares on there. If you want to send any packages, you know what? I don't want to give up the P.O. Box. I'm afraid I'm going to get a stink bomb from Scientology. No, send your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Dude, that was awesome. That was fun, man. That was fun.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I told her I was going to do it.
Yeah, please do. All right. And definitely, can we promote your book again?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's promote the book.
Yeah, it's called Beyond Belief, My Secret Life in Scientology and My Harrowing Escape.
On Amazon?
On Amazon.
And they could get the hard copy on Amazon?
Yes, that, what he said.
Say it again. Say the.
You can get the hard copy on
Amazon.
Say
the name of the book again.
It's long.
Say it again, though.
Beyond Belief, My Secret Life in Scientology.
Get yours.
And My Harrowing Escape.
Subscribe to both their channels. That was awesome. I'm scared now. They know about me now.
Oh, they know about you. They're going to find out about you.
Hiding in the crevices, in the coral premises, in my Neverland like Peter Pan, checking messages.
I feel like
it's the way that you grow when you let them go. On the edge of plateaus when they push you, fall so low. Oh. I'm a silhouette that you'll forget, a shadow in the dark. Villa, second part, a deck, a shuffle with the cards. I'm a vortice to heart, like a monk upon the ledge. And I'm trying to do my part before departing.